Okay, so let's begin. Kedushas Levi, Parshas Lech Lecha, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Okay, we'll begin with the fifth piece. Ve'ascha l'goy gadol, ve'avarechecha, ve'agadala shemecha, ve'heye bracha. So the Berdichever begins by quoting a famous Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara says that every day when we daven, we're alluding to this pasuk. Ve'ascha l'goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation, says the Gemara, Zesha Omrim Elokei Avraham. And then Avram is told, "Va'avarechecha, and I will bless you." Zesha Omrim Elokei Yitzchak. Va'agadala Shemecha. Zesha Omrim Elokei Yaakov. Yachol Yehu Chosmin Bekulam. Maybe we should conclude the bracha of Avos by mentioning all three Avos. After all, at the beginning of the bracha of Avos in Shemona Esrei, you mentioned Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So maybe we should conclude Baruch Ata Hashem Magen. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And yet, we don't end that way. We end, of course, Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham. So it says the Gemara, yes, Yachol Yehu Chosmin Bekulam. You might think that you conclude with all of them. Talmud Lomar, Veheyeh Bracha. Veheyeh Bracha. You get the Bracha. Meaning, Becha Chosmin, below Behem. You thought Avraham was the beginning. You thought he was the first. He's also the last. Avram is the first and Avram is the last. Avram leads the way and Avram completes, so to speak, the process. Becha Chosmin. Avram seals the deal. By the way, how many years did the Avos live combined? It's an important number to know. Oh man, Rebbe, you're starting so early with the numbers. We do that at the end of this year. Yes, I'm starting with the numbers. How many years did the Avos live? Okay, let's forget Gematria for a second. Let's just be educated Jews. How long did Abraham, our forefather, live? Abraham lived 175 years. How many years did Yitzchak live? 180. How many years did Yaakov live? 147. Okay, so what's the total? The total is 502. And now 502 is a very chashuv number. 502 is a very chashuv number. 502 is gematria emunah pshuta. Because, of course, we get our emunah pshuta. We said yesterday from the original, there's two ways to come to emunah. There's emunah through being a philosopher and being inquisitive and studying the world and studying the way that the world was created and studying the need for there to have been a God, right? But then there's also the emunah that we get from our avos. Yesterday we talked about a third category of emunah, an even more emunah pshuta that doesn't even come from the parents, it doesn't come through philosophical inquiry. Right? But the Avos is where we get our Muna Pshuta. Why do I believe? Because I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they taught us that we believe. They discovered God. I don't have to go discover God. I just have to believe what I've been taught by my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. Yeah? 502. So it's interesting. So the years of the life of the Avos, meaning the whole life of the Avos, is explaining the Inyan, the Sugya of a Muna Pshuta, of a Jew's belief in a Kaddish Baruch. 502 is a big number. It's a Purim number. Right? When we talk about Baruch Mordechai, and Ar Haman, Baruch Mordechai is 502, Ar Haman is 502. But I think in this context, just to chazer something we learned earlier this week, yeah, says the Gemara, Behayei Bracha, you're going to be the Bracha, Avraham, you're going to be the one to finish the process, Becha Chosmin. What's the Gematria of Becha? Becha Chosmin. So you could say it's 22, or you could also say it's 502. Sandy, why is it 502? Because Chav Sofit is 500. So Becha Chosmin. Right? So we look at Avram as the one who kind of began the process. But however, you have to always remember the beginnings and ends are always connected. So if we start with Avram, that means we end with Avram. Magen Avraham. Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avraham. Heye Bracha, you get the Bracha. Okay, but now let's try to understand what that means that we end with Avram. Each of the Avos has a different Midah. What does it mean that we conclude with Avram? Ki Hineh Yesh Losh Midos Asher HaBorei Baruch Hu Misnaig Behem Kol HaOlamos. There are three midos by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides and directs all of creation. The hei midas ahava, what we sometimes call chesed. Umidas gvura, number two, gvura. Number three, umidas tiferes. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Chesed, or ahava, gvura, and tiferes. Yeah? Tiferes, who wants to translate tiferes? How would you translate?
Harmony.
Harmony is a good translation. Because that's what really tiferes is. It's blending together the world of Avram and Yitzchak. Right? Harmony is a nice translation. Usually we translate it as splendor. Okay, but Tiferes is the blend of the chesed of Avram, the sweetness and the av of Avraham, with the Yiras Shemayim, the Gvura, the Midas Hadin of Yitzchak, and you blend them together and you get Yaakov. Because if you just have too much Ava, if you have too much of the world of Avraham, you end up with a son called Yishmael. Yishmael is a pervert in the Midah of Ava. He corrupts the Midah of Ava. He takes Ava and uses it in an abusive way. And Yitzchak, if you have too much Gvura, you end up with an Esav, who's a murderer and a thug. But if you blend them together, then you get a Yaakov, who all 12 of his children are tzaddikim, holy, good Jews. That doesn't mean they're perfect, but that means they're certainly have no shaykhis to that world of Yishmael and that world of Esav, which all the Umas Olam come from. Okay? So there's Ava, there's Gvura, and there's Teferis. Or sometimes we call it Chesed, Gvura, and Teferis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnag bebruah b'midas ha'ahava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the world and interacts with all of creation through the midah called Ahava, az kol ha'olam osheim maleim kol tov. So then the world is filled with goodness. Right? Ahava, when you love someone, you just want good things for them. You want to shower good things upon them. Right? Whether that's things you can actually give them, hand them, or it's an emotional feeling that you're trying to generate towards them. U'kesha'abore baruch hu misnag bebruah b'midas ha'gvura. And when Hashem acts towards the world with that midah known as Gvura, right, sometimes called Yira, Ava and Yira, Chesed and Gvura, Az Chas v'Shalom lif'amim hu lehefich. If Hashem acts towards the world with Gvura, sometimes it seems very heavy-handed that the world is being punished. U'kesha'abore baruch hu misnag bebruah b'midas ha'tiferes. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with his creations with that blended, harmonious midah called Tiferes, Az Gam Kein Hei Maleim Kol Tov. Ki be'emes tachlis midas ha'tiferes hu ahava. Ki midas ha'tiferes hu masha ha'bore yisbarach mispar atma kivyachol b'bruav. Val yidei ze yisora midas ahava la'shpil lehem kol tov. Tiferes also, even though Tiferes is a blend of the world of ahava and yira, of the world of chesed and gvura, but Tiferes is more pleasantly inclined. Tiferes is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mispa'er b'bruav. That Hashem is glorified, so to speak, through His creations. That we can give, again, the theme that we've seen so many times in Kedushas Levi, Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we are able to do something that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol happy, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to us by showering goodness upon us. So Tiferes, even though Tiferes is the middle, again, if you see like a chart of the spheros, you have Chesed on the right, you have Gvura on the left, and you have Tiferes in the middle. But Tiferes is more the tachlis of Tiferes is Ava. Right? Tiferes is a blend, but its goal is that it should generate a more positive type of thing. Okay? V'yinei midas ha'gvura afal pishu nira shu lehefech midas Ava. So Ahava is Ava. Tiferes is also Ahava, Ahavali inclined. What about Gvura? So says the Berdichever who was Kulo Ava, right? In a balanced way. No, it doesn't make any sense what I just said. But he was Kulo Ava in a balanced way. Says the holy Berdichever, Gvura is also Ava. Gvura is Ava. How is Gvura Ava? How is Midas Hadin? How is Yira? How is that an expression of Ava? And what he's showing us, what he's revealing to us, is that everything is rooted in Ava. The tachlis of the Bria is that Hashem wants to do good for us. Which means that when Hashem has to punish us, it's also good for us. Let's read the words inside. Ki chas v'shalom lif'amim v'osed din ba'olam. Even though Hashem at times has to again deal with the world in a heavy way, with midas hadin, with gvura, afal pichein tachlisa hi ava. You shouldn't make a mistake to think that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forced to punish us, it's because He doesn't like us. He's performing surgery on us because we're sick, and He likes us and He wants us to be healthy. So sometimes when a person has surgery, it's not the most fun or pleasant experience. But it's a good experience. It's not a fun experience. It's not necessarily an enjoyable experience. But is it good? Of course it's good. It could save your life. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to turn towards the world with Midas Hadin, Midas Hagvura, it's also rooted in Ava. It may not seem that way on the surface. Kamo she'amru chevrei Iyov le'Iyov, like the friends of Iyov told Iyov. Iyov who is suffering so terribly. What did they tell Iyov? Your beginning is from tzar. It starts off with difficulty. Everything in life starts off with a challenge. But your end will be very glorious. So Iyov, don't be tzos abrachin. Iyov says, I had such a good life, and now everything was taken away from me. So his friends say to him, That's not a good life. A good life is a life that comes after hard work, and then you earn something. This is how it works. They tell him. It always starts off tough, and then it gets easier as time goes on. It's like learning Gemara. It's like learning to control your temper. It's like learning to whatever it is that you're trying to work on. It's hard at the beginning. It's hard. Lefum tzara agra. In accordance with the difficulty is the reward. So yes, it's tough at the beginning. But Eov, stick it out. And you'll see that even the Gvura is really Ahava. That even Midas HaDin is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves you. Ki ikr Midas HaGvura lasos lefavim chas v'shalom din ba'olam. Kedei she'achar kach yushba kol tov. A Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes has to what? The same way that sometimes a person has to plow a field and rip it to shreds in order to put seeds in the ground. There's a famous mashal that Rav Chanan Wasserman gives of describing how a person is sometimes hasty in judging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine a person goes out to a field and he takes his friend and he says, watch this. And he starts plowing the field. He says, what are you doing? You're destroying your field. You're ripping up the whole thing. So then he sees he's planting seeds in the ground. He says, ah, now I understand. Right? So then he starts to water the plants. Yeah, and they start to grow, and he sees, ah, now I see what you're doing. And all of a sudden, he comes out with his sickle, and he starts chopping down. He's chopping down everything in the field. What are you doing? You're destroying these beautiful plants. You just spent all this time growing, right? And then he takes them further. He says, oh, maybe he's going to bring them in. He's going to put them in a vase. It'll look nice on the Shabbos table or whatever. And then he sees he's going, and he extracts these kernels from it. So he figures, oh, okay, the kernels. You could probably eat those or something. You put them in a pot. You boil them up and you eat them. Then he takes the kernels and just destroys it. Crushes them into powder. He says, what are you doing? Right? And then he starts mixing in water. He makes this blob. He doesn't know what to do with it. And then he sticks it in the oven. And then he says, now he's just going to burn the whole thing. He's going to destroy the whole thing. Until a loaf of bread comes out. Right? And finally he understands that there's a whole process here. Right? And if you try to assess the story too early, then you miss the whole point. Then you don't understand what's going on. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is still finding his voice, so to speak, in the world. And if we're going to assess HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point and say, oh, but Hashem, but what about this? Hashem, you did all these terrible things. Hashem says, whoa, slow down. You've seen some things that are Ava. You've seen some things that are Teferis, which hopefully you understood. There's some things that are Gvura that are hard to understand. But I promise you, says Hashem, that the only reason I acted towards the world of Midas HaDin is so that afterwards, Yushba Kol Tov, I could pour goodness upon you. Right? I have to plow the field in order to put the seeds into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, sometimes I have to plow over you and over the world, which is a painful experience, in order to then what? In order to then facilitate growth. Like we've been learning in Lekan Amar. Ukamosh and Nachum Ish Gamzu Amar Al Kol Mikra Asher Hikrala. What did Nachum Ish Gamzu famously used to say in the Gemara in Tanis? What would he always say? Why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Because he always said Gamzu Latova. Gamzu Latova. I think Neil Badner once pointed out to me that Gamzu Latova is Gematria Gehenim. Is Gehenim also good? Yes, Gehenim is great. Gamzu Latova. Why? Because Gehenim is where you refine yourself to go to Gan Eden, to get to the Olamah, to get to the good place, wherever, whatever that is. But yes, even punishment after this world is a good thing. Because it refines your soul and allows you to then bask in the Ziv HaShechina for the rest of eternity. 108. Gehenim is 108, Gamzu Latova is 108. I used to think of that when I used to drive carpool a couple of years ago for one of my kids, and we had the carpool number 108. So depending on how bad and how slow the carpool line was moving, I had to grapple between the world of this is Gehenna, but Gamzu Latova, this is okay, this is what Hashem wants, right? Why didn't I leave my house 5 minutes earlier? I could have been the first one in line. I could have, now I'm running like a crazy man on Erev Shabbos. Okay, that's how it goes sometimes. So therefore, we have to remind ourselves, afal pi shehikra lo eiza mikra asher b'tchila nira lo tov. When Nachum Ish Gamzu would see things, he had a very broken life. And he always found a way to see it in a positive way. Afal pi chein sofa hi tova, because he understood the end is always good. The end is always good. My wife hung up something on our bulletin board the other week. It said something, I'm going to mess up the line. It says something like, the end is always good, so if it's not good, that means you're not at the end yet. Meaning, if you think like life is not good, right? And all the Svarim tell us that the tachlis of our existence, that Hashem wants to do good for us. So that if the end is always good and your life's not good, that means you're not at the end yet. You have to wait. You don't have the full story yet. Chavetz Chaim used to say, it's like a person who walks into davening late. A person walks into davening late. Remember this? He walks into davening late. Yeah? And the person walks into mincha late. People in the middle of saying Ashrei. Yeah? And he hears a pasuk. And he's all bent out of shape by this pasuk. What's the pasuk? Who remembers? The shin. What is he hearing? He misses the beginning of the pasuk. What does he hear? He hears what? But not Kol Hashem Yashmi makes sense. What is he here? What is he here? Hashem is Kol Avav. That's Kol Hashem Yashmi. God, the ones that he loves and the ones that are wicked, he destroys. Why? I understand why God hates the wicked people. Why does God hate the good people? Or let's say he walks out half a second early. Chafetz Chaim says he walks out half a second early. Shomer Hashem Eskol Ho'avav Veskol Rasham. And he misses the last word. I understand why God is Shomer the ones who he loves. But why does Hashem protect the Rasham? So Chev, if you don't have the whole story, then you can't understand things. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in this world, and we feel like, oh, Midas HaDin, this is just plain old Midas HaDin. Says the Berdichever, you haven't made it to the end of the story yet. Afalpicha in Sofa Hi Tova. Vasher b'tchila nira lo tova, hi rak k'dei shia acher kach tova. Ulefi dvareinu eile, afilu midas ha'gvura, tachliso hi ahava. Don't think that only chesed is good, and teferes is good, but guess what? Even gvura and midas hadin is also good. So I want to tell you two ramazim from two different svarim to help us understand this idea a little bit deeper. Okay, I always share two things when I talk about being mahapich din to something good. One's from the Sefer Avodas Pnim, and one's from the present Scholy Rebbe, quoting the previous Scholy Rebbe's grandfather. The Sefer is called Chakima Beremiza. Okay, let's go one at a time. Sefer Avodas Pnim. Avodas Pnim was written by a Slonimer Chassid who lived in Tveria. Very, very deep Sefer. We learned some of his writings on Tshuva, I think, last year, on Sunday. And the Avodas Pnim, in the first Perek, in Os Gimel, says a very interesting thing. He says, what is Hashem's name of kindness, of Chassid? And what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name of Din? No. What's Hashem's name of kindness? What's Hashem's name of Din? Hashem's name of kindness is Yod Kei Vav Kei. Hashem's name of Midas HaDin is Elokim. Okay, so let's look at the name Elokim. You look at the name Elokim and you say, ah, Midas HaDin. Where is the Chesed in this? So he says, I'll show you where the Chesed is. Yeah? I have to teach you a concept that maybe some of you are not familiar with. So we'll learn it together. There are four different ways to expand the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Meaning if I spell out the letters, if I do the miloy of Yud Hei Vav Hei, right, there's only one way to spell the letter Yud. I'm spelling the letter Yud, not just writing the letter Yud, I'm spelling the word Yud. So there's only one way to spell the letter Yud. How do you spell it? Yud Vav Dalet. Okay, there's only one way to spell Yud. So if someone tells you a gematria, and they say Yud is Yud Aleph Dalet, that's not part of... That's just not, you can't make up your own rules. There are halachos to these things. Okay, so Yod is Yod Vav Dalet. How do you spell Hey? So the Svarim HaKadoshim say there's three ways to spell Hey. Hey Aleph, Hey Hey, or Hey Yod. There's also three ways to spell Vav. The Svarim HaKadoshim say Vav can be Vav Vav. Vav can be Vav Aleph Vav, or Vav Yod Vav. Okay? And using those different arrangements, when we spell out the letters Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, we can produce four different arrangements of four different expanded forms of God's name. Okay, let's start. Let's just take the most basic one. Yeah, let's take the most basic one. Yod Vav Dalet is 20. Hey Aleph. How much is Hey Aleph? 6. We have 2 Hays. So we have 20 and 6 and 6. So what are we up to? 32. And then this is called Miloy Alfin, where you're filling out the letters with the letter Aleph. So Hey is spelled Hey Aleph, and Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav. So if you spell it out, Yud, Yud Vav Dalet. Hey, Hey Aleph. Vav, Vav Aleph Vav. And then the final Hey, again, Hey Aleph, it's Gematria 45. Okay, now the more, of course, that you expand Yud Kei Vav Kei, the better. When you expand Yud Kei Vav Kei, that means you're what? You're expanding the Chesed. So says the Avodas Pnim. Look at the word Elokim You look at the red elokim and you say, oh, this is midas adin. Look deeper, he says. Look on the inside. What are the middle three letters? The middle three letters of elokim are what? Lamed. No, lamed. Hey. And yud. It's gematria 45. So he says, oh. He says, if you look at the word elokim on the surface, you say midas adin. But if you look at the inside of elokim, not only do you see yudke vavke, but you see what? You see an expanded form of yudke vavke, which fits with what we explained the other day from the Vilna Gaon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzer or Uvorei Choshech. What do you mean Borei? Borei is a higher level than Yotzer. How could Choshech be Borei? But the answer is that the chesed that comes out of darkness, the chesed that comes out of Midas Adin, is even more expansive than the chesed that you thought was chesed on the surface. You look at Yudkei Vavkei and you say, that's a good name of God. You look at the name Elohim and you say, that's a bad name of God. That's a harsh name of God. But says Devarim Pnim, look at the inside of Elohim, and you'll understand that inside of Elohim is mamish an expansion of chesed. That's one remez I want to tell you. The second remez I want to tell you is from the Sefer Chakima Beremiza, from the present Skolya Rebbe Shlita in Bar Park, in Parsha Shlach. And he says the following. And he says it in the name of his grandfather, the previous Skolya Rebbe, who passed away in the 1970s, if I'm not mistaken, and he was mamish gon atzum. The previous Skolya Rebbe was Kodesh Kadashim, mamish. There's unbelievable stories about how he survived at the hands of the Nazis, and his svarim are amazing. So he says, in the name of his grandfather, he says, my grandfather brought another remez to show you how, within Midas Adin, there's really unbelievable chesed. He says, take another name, which is a name of Din. What's another name of Din besides Elohim? Give me another name that's more of a Din type of name. Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Yud. Yeah, that name of Hashem has the word Din in it. Right? Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Yud. Okay? So he says, in the name of his grandfather, it could be other Sfarim bring this also. I may have seen this elsewhere also. But it's for sure in the Chakim Rebbe Miza Parsha Shlach. So he says, take the name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yud, and spell it out. So again, how do you spell Aleph? There's only one way to spell Aleph. Aleph, Lamed, Pe. Okay? Take the letter Dalid. We say Dalid, but every Sefer Kadosh spells it Dalit. Dalis, a door. Dalid, Lamed, Tof. Nun, there's only one way to spell Nun. Nun, Vav, Nun. Nun. And the last letter is what? Is Yud. Yud, Vav, Dal. Okay, so we spelled out the Shem Adnus. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. So it says the previous Skolya Rebbe, look at the middle letter of each one. What's the middle letter of Aleph? Is Lamed, so that's 30. What's the middle letter of Dalid? That's Lamed again. Another 30, so up to 60. Look at the middle letter of Nun. That's a Vav, so up to? What are we up to? 66. And then Yud, again the middle letter is Vav, we're up to 72. So if you take the middle letter, when you expand, when you open it up, and you look in the insides, the pnimius, each one is three letters, look at the middle letter of each one. What's going on the inside? It's Gematria 72, which is Gematria Chesed. That within the name of Gvura, of Midas Adin, if you look on the inside, you see chesed. Right? And again, that's what the Berditcher is saying here. Ava is Ava. Teferes is Ava. Gvura is also Ava. Yeah.
It's like what the Mishpia said before.
You think Emes is out to get you. Right.
The deeper Emes
is coming to protect her. Exactly. Okay? So now we can understand what this secret Gemara in Pesachim is talking about. V'heyei bracha, Avram, you're the bracha. B'cha chosmin, we end off magin Avraham. Because when we mention Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we want to end off by saying, by the way, in case you thought, well, Avraham is one way, and Yitzchak is a different way, and Yaakov is a third way, you should just know, they're all rooted in Avraham. They're all rooted in Ava, in the mid of Ava and Chesed. V'nei yadua she'Avram romez amidas Ava, v'yitzchak amidas ha'gvura, v'yaakov amidas ha'tiferes. Maybe you end the first bracha of Shemona Esrei by saying Magen Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. Klomar Shei Midas HaGvura VaTiferes Tachlisam Gamkein Gvura. Right? Maybe Gvura is Gvura, and maybe Tiferes is also Gvura. Maybe Ava is the only one that's Ava. V'Zeh Amar BeChachosmin Magen Avraham. Klomar Tachlis HaTiferes VaGvura Hu Rak Shis Orer Midas HaAva Ki Chosem Hu. Tchilas Tachlis HaDavar. Because the end of something reveals to you the essence of something. The beginning of something says a lot about the thing, and the end of something says a lot about the thing. So if we start with Avram, and we end with Avram, then we know what the whole thing's about. The whole thing's about Avram. In other words, the whole thing is about the Midah of Chesed. Yeah.
Didn't we learn that Yaakov Meshachter says that we end with Avram because he was the first one to explore, what was it? He was the first one to explore Hashem or something like that, so he gets the schar for it, or it's like, how do these relate, how do these two
appear? Okay, have to think about it. So think about it. If you think about the other aspects of Avram, right, that makes him the beginning and the end. Right. Okay. Have to think about it. But Avram is an ongoing, because Avram is the Rishis, he has to also be the Achris. Rishis and Achris are always connected. Right. That's why the pasuk says Rabbi Nachman has a famous piece at the beginning of the second section of Likutei Maran, piece called Echad Haya Avram. The pasuk says Echad Haya Avram. Right? There's a oneness to Avram. Whenever there's a oneness, that means it permeates everything. Yeah? Avram's always rooted in the concept of one. I'll tell you, Rem, as I thought of on the way home from yeshiva yesterday. It needs a lot of explanation, but I'll just tell it to you, because those who like a Muslim will like it, and if you don't like a Muslim, you're not going to like it, because you're not going to understand it. But I'll say it anyways. Avram is give me another name for Avram. Avram has nicknames. There's another name that Avram is called by. Avram Ivri, okay, what else? He's called Eitan. Eitan HaEzrachi. Avram is referred to, as Eitan. Eitan. So what's the gematria of Eitan? We'll go back to our friend Sandy, who knows that Nun Sofit is 700. So what's the gematria of Eitan? Avram is called Eitan, which means the strong one. He established a firm foundation for Klal Yisrael. He's going to carry us through to the end. Mogen Avraham. 1,111. Right? 1,111. 1,111. Right? Which is 1, 1, 1, 1. Now, I can tell you a Torah from the Stuchina Rebbe to explain that much better. But again, it fits the theme. If the Pasuk says, Echad Haya Avram. Avram is always rooted in the one. Right? The concept of 1, 1, 1, 1 means that there's a 1 in the 1's column, a 1 in the 10's column, a 1 in the 100's column, a 1 in the 1,000's column, and 1,000's as high as it goes in Yiddishkeit. There's no number after 1,000. How do you say 1,000 in Hebrew? Aleph, right. Aleph. It's back to Aleph. Aleph brings you back to Aleph. So Avram is the beginning and Avram is the end. Avram is the whole story of Klal Yisrael. Okay? There's a Torah I heard once from the Stuchina Rebbe to explain that much better, but I think it's a good remez for Avram that he's called Eitan, which is 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay, Gevaldik. Yeah. Yeah. Remind me.
What?
Remind me, because I don't remember anything.
We discussed Magen Avram and how the emes of Matzah and the emes of Magen Avram is a Muna.
Right.
It's also one, right? There's only one God, one Hashem.
Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
So, we're saying in the context of Chesed, but 1, 1, 1, 1 also makes sense in the context of
Muna. Right. And again, that's because the Rabbeinu Shalom's goal in creating the world was Ava, was Chesed, was goodness. It sounds abstract, but it's super lemaisa, because it means that everything that happens in your life is good for you. And you have to walk around saying, Gam Zu L'Tova. That's the lower way of saying it. You know what the higher way of saying it? Gam Zu L'Tova means this is also good. Right? Gam Zu, this which doesn't look good, is also good. The higher way of saying it is the way the Rabbi Akiva said in the Gemara in Brachos. Kol Ma Da Avid Rachmana, everything Hashem does, L'Tav Avid. He does for good. Right? The famous story of Rabbi Akiva, where he thought all his all the things that he had were taken away from him, and it turned out it saved his life. Yeah.
Just something sure on Shema Yisrael that I think I really appreciate is what I think about when I say Shema Yisrael.
Let's hear. Teach us, Levi Yitzchak.
We just said that Yudkei Vavkei is Hashem's name of Chesed, and Elokim is Hashem's name of Din.
Right.
When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem with Yudkei Vavkei,
right.
So and then Elokeinu. So
Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad.
Although Hashem, in our eyes, can sometimes be Chesed and sometimes be Din.
Beautiful.
At the end of the day, it's Hashem Echad.
Right?
And he uses Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei.
He seems like he's Hashem and Elokeinu, but it's Hashem Echad. It's all one thing. Yes, beautiful.
Well, speaking of the Shema, I remember one of your Thursday night shiur about the
hand.
Yeah. How when you're blind or something like that.
Oh, when you cover your eyes.
Yeah, it's like you're dead already.
Right, a blind person's Domo Lemes. So it's the Mesiris Nefesh of Kriyashma. Okay, good. So let's go on. So if everything is rooted in Ava, he says, Ve'elo ha-shalosha b'chinos ha-yabiyud beiz shivteka. And these three concepts, again, express themselves within the Shvatim. And the truth is, the next paragraph of this piece is a little complicated, so I'm actually going to stop this piece right here. Okay? So we have an unbelievable new understanding of what we're saying every single time we daven Shmona Esrei. Yes, Hashem, my perception is Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'elokei Yaakov. But I remind myself at the end that there's going to be an end. And the end is going to be Avram. The end is going to be that everything makes sense, everything is good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. And even the things that looked most broken, that we could never in a million years try to explain, whether it's personal suffering or collective Jewish suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have a way to show us how it's really a big bracha in disguise. Okay, let's jump to the next piece, V'heyei Bracha. It's a small piece, but it's a very chashuv piece. It's a very deep idea. V'heyei Bracha. Right? We said that Avram is promised all these blessings. V'hayei bracha, and you shall be the blessing. V'hayei bracha. Haklal, yudhei ramaz al Hashem yisparach, vavhei al Yisrael. What's the whole pasuk? It's parak yud beis, pasuk beis. Lech lecha me'artzacha, that's pasuk aleph, pasuk beis, v'eschol l'goy gadol, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great. V'hayei bracha. So says the Berditchever, the rule is, based on the Zohar, that Yud-Hei alludes to Hashem. And Vav-Hei alludes to Klal Yisrael. Ve'ad Avram lo hayamishi or ha-shefa milamala v'ayashefa min Hashem levado. Until Avraham, anything that happened in the world is because Hashem led the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to lead the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give something to the world, so he gave it. But there was no one who was really connecting with Hashem and asking Hashem and bringing things down. The terms that we use to describe a heavenly arousal versus a man-made arousal is Isarusa Dila'ela. Isarusa with an aleph. Isarusa Dila'ela. Right? A hisoris from above. And Isarusa Dila'tata. And a hisoris Milatata, right? From below. So until Avram's time, everything was Isarusa de la'ela. Everything happened from on high. No one was able to interact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu because no one recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu the way that Avram did. So ad Avram lo hayimisha ochi over hashefa milamala, there was no one who was able to, so to speak, wake up Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring down Shefa. And therefore what? The name of Hashem is Yud Hey Vav Hey. Yud Hey Vav Hey means Hashem leads the way. Yud Hey is, again, the klal was that Yud-Heh represents Hashem, and Vav-Heh represents Klal Yisrael. But what does the Pasuk say about Avram? V'heyei bracha. Vav-Heh before Yud-Heh. What does that mean, Vav-Heh before Yud-Heh? It means that Klal Yisrael is leading the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has empowered us, and again, it's in the schus of Avram Avinu, who took charge of the world. Instead of allowing the world to just run on autopilot, Avram says, I want to interact with the Creator. And therefore, Avram is told Veheyei Bracha, Mishaba Avram, right? Vav Hey Yud Hey, V'Hayesoris Hashefa Milamata. Avram says, "I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to lead the way. Klal Yisrael is going to lead the way. We're going to take charge. We're not just going to sit back and wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide when He wants to send something down to this world. We're going to dive into Hashem. We're going to talk to Hashem. We're going to recognize Hashem, and we're going to be Ma'orer from below, Hashefa from on high. And therefore, Nimsa Vav Hey Kodem Yud Hey." And that's Veheyei Bracha. That's the secret of the words Veheyei Bracha. Vavhei before Yodhei. Vezeo Shamru Chazal, Vahaya, Hu Simcha. Chaver, what's the rule? We've gone over this rule many times. Whenever you see the word Vayhi Bimei, it's a good thing or a bad thing. Gemara in Megillah says Vayhi Bimei is bad. Okay? What about Vayhi without a Bimei? Gemara in Megillah says it can go either way. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, depends on the context. Says the Medrash, what about Vahaya? Vav Hey Yud Hey. Vahaya always signals something good. So now we have a totally new understanding of why that is. Why is it such a simcha when it's Vahaya? Vav Hey Yud Hey. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, look how my Klal Yisrael is taking charge. Look how the Jewish people are leading the world, right? Directing the universe. They're not just sitting back and being passive observers, right? Watching things happen. But Klal Yisrael is trying to mold reality. Klal Yisrael is interacting with me. V'haya hu simcha, klomar vav hei kodem yud hei, nir mazal esoris hatachton. And that alludes to us leading the way. To us being able to make things happen. And again, that makes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that makes the Kodesh Baruch Hu very, very happy. And Avram was the first one to do such a thing. Okay, there's a piece in Parshas Tazria. If you want to just make a note on the side of your Kedushas Levi, there's a piece in Parshas Tazria where he expands on this idea. I'm not going to do it now because we'll get to Tazria Mir Tzashem. And the hour is getting late and I want to see a little bit more. But if you want to just cross-reference it, you should know there's a nice piece in Parshas Tazria where he expands on this idea of Klal Yisrael's his Oris, right, making Hashem happy. Yeah.
I like the idea, but isn't it also a little bit contradictory because we believe that ultimate God runs everything?
Of course.
So to say that we're the ones who really control it, that's why it says, vote him for your head.
Hashem always has veto rights. I'll tell you a teaching from the Kedushas Levi. It's not printed in Kedushas Levi, but it's from the Kedushas Levi. It's not found in the regular volume. He says, when we say about Hashem, we refer to Hashem as Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Yeah? Why do we call Hashem Melech Malchei Hamlachim? Right, so the Pashup Shah is the king who rules over kings. He's the greatest king of all. Okay, that's the Pashup Shah. But the Berdishever explains as follows. Melech Malchei Hamlachim. Yeah? First, I'll tell you a teaching first from the Maggid of Mezrich, which is going to sound intense, but it's very powerful. Right, the Maggid of Mezrich said, Adon Olam, Asher Malach, B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Who can translate those words? Adon Olam, the master of the universe. Asher Malach, who was the king, who ruled the world. B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, even before anything was created. Right? I mean, God was always king. God doesn't, unlike a king of flesh and blood who needs subjects to be called king, God was king even before anyone was created. That's the Pashup Shat in Adon Olam. The Halakha Maggid of Mezrich, the Mezricher Maggid said, Adon Olam, master of the universe, Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, you ruled the world before anyone was created, but now that you created us, we're in charge. B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, right? You were the Malach in the past, but you're not the Malach. Right? The Pashup Shad is, you were the Malach then, and of course you're still the king now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and the Torah gives us the ability to shape reality, to define reality, to be able to look at the sky and to declare it Rosh Chodesh, and to be Koveya time. So Adon Olam, you are the king who ruled B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra before anything was created. Right, but now that we're created, we're in charge. Okay, so yes, there is a power that we have to rule the world, but Hashem has veto rights, and that's what I want to come back to. Melech Malchei Hamlachim. What does it mean? So the Berditcher explained. Melech, Hashem is the king. Right? But the rabbis are also, the Gemara in Gittin says in Daf Samach Beis, the rabbis are also called kings. And sometimes the rabbis have the ability to be mevatel gezeira. God makes a decree and the rabbis overturn it. The Torah says blow shofar, and the rabbis say, not on Shabbos, we're going to interpret that in the Torah. The Torah says 40 lashes, the rabbis say, well, 40 means up to 40, 39 lashes. And obviously, it's not the rabbis' right, own creations, but they're the ones who are defining a certain reality in Torah. So the rabbis are called kings. Pasuk in Mishlei, be malachim yimlochu. Right? Kings who rule over me. How do we express the fact that Hashem always has the final say? We say, Melech Malchei HaMalachim. The king, Hashem, who rules over kings, the rabbis, who rule over the king, Hashem. Right? So the rabbis can rule over Hashem, but Hashem can rule over can veto the rabbis. You know what I'm saying? It's the king who rules the kings, the rabbis who rule the king, Hashem. Okay, so yes, of course the Kodesh Baruch Hu still has the veto rights, and of course everything comes from Hashem, but again, Hashem likes to see a Klal Yisrael that's passionate, that's motivated, and that believes that through the kochos of Torah and mitzvahs, we can do things. And that's Vehayei Bracha. The Vavhei comes before the Yodhei. A Klal Yisrael lead a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kivyachol, as opposed to just being, again, the passive recipients of his Bracha in this world. Okay, let's go on. Let's take a look at the next piece, short little piece. Vavarcha mevarachecho mekalelcha aor. Yeah, it's Pasuk Gimel. Hashem says to Avram, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. The Kedushas Levi asked the same question that those who came to Vilna Gaon Shir Tuesday night asked, which is that the pasuk is inconsistent. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. You see why it's inconsistent? Why not say, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you? Right? Or why not say, those who bless you, I will bless, those who curse you, I will curse. You hear how it flips in the middle? I will bless those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you. And those who curse you, I will curse. Well, pick one way or the other. Right? It should be avarcha mivarchecha. And then I will curse those who curse you. It's inconsistent. Why the change in the language? Sheitzal abracha amar mikodam vavarcha. Veitzal klala hiktim umikalelcha. Why emphasize that I will bless by the blessing, right? And by the curse, it says those who curse you, those who have cursed you, those who will curse you. So he says, very simple. Very simple. The Gemara in Kedushin Adaf Mem tells us, Achnira Shazei Yadua, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin Adaf Mem Amibiz, Shabori Baruchu Mitzarif Machshava Tova Lemaisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers a good thought like a good deed. That doesn't mean that we just become theoretical Jews who in our heads we serve Hashem. But if for some reason I want to do something good, and in my mind I've made up my mind to do something good, and something beyond my control stops me, you should know you get credit as if you did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches a good machshava to the maisa. Velo machshava ra chalila. But Hashem overlooks a machshava ra. Yeah? And it's true even if you carry out the mitzvah. If I have a good intention and I do the mitzvah, Hashem says I give you credit for doing the mitzvah and for thinking good things about the mitzvah. But if you do an avera, Hashem says I'm not going to double punish you. I'll punish you for the avera, but I'm not going to punish you for the fact that you thought about doing this avera before you actually came to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quick to, again, Hashem chooses to reward more generously than he punishes. Valze amar vavarcha mevarchecha. Hashem says, I will bless those who bless you. Right? Meaning what? I will bless them even before they bless you. Just by thinking about blessing you. Right? Hashem says, I will bless in advance the ones who are intending to bless you. When someone even meditates upon the thought of blessing you, Avraham, Kadosh Baruch Hu says immediately, I will bless those who intend to bless you. Hashem gives you credit just for thinking good things. As if a person has fulfilled that mitzvah. But when it comes to the curse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the person thinks about cursing Avraham. Hashem waits. Hashem doesn't jump on a person's thoughts in a negative way. You have a positive thought, Hashem says, I would love to get involved right away and give you a reward. You have a negative thought, Hashem hopes they're going to change your mind. And again, the Reditcher with his unbelievable love for Klal Yisrael, showing us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed that love to Avraham Avinu. Right? To teach Avraham Avinu that again, that I'm much quicker to respond to the good than I am to Chas V'Shalom punish the negative. Okay. Let's turn the page. A couple minutes left. Okay, let's go to the piece. Asher im yuchal ish lemnos es afar haaretz gam zaracha yimoneh. It's Parach Yud Gimel Pasuk Tazayin. And it's, bottom of page Chavbez. Okay, bottom of page Chavbez. Asher im yuchal ish lemnos es afar haaretz gam zaracha yimoneh. Here's a very interesting piece. You know there's a halacha, you're not allowed to count Jews, right? You're not allowed to count. You're not allowed to count Jews. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're not allowed to do that. Why can't you count Jews? What's wrong with counting Jews? So the Reditcher explains as follows. Ki Avram bitstagninus hayamabit bekochavim mazalos. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk says, Vayotze Yosef Achutza, Hashem took him outside. Rashi says, the Pasuk Pshat, he took him outside. He walked out of his tent. And he looked at the stars. Rashi has a deeper Pshat. That what? And that's what Berditcher is quoting here. Ki Avram bitstagninus hayamabit bakochav mazalus. Avram, right, was looking, using astrology to try to read the stars. And Hashem took him outside. Hashem took him beyond the stars. You're not bound by the natural order, Avram Avinu. V'nei darcho shal elu she'enem yecholim liros rak davar shu ba'olam hazeh she'esh lo hasaga. Ma she'en kein davar shu l'malim en hasaga. Things that are of this world can be seen. But things that are beyond this world cannot be seen. Things that are hard, right? There's a strong connection between vision and understanding. That's why the Pasuk says, Chacham, Einav Barosho. Your mind's eye. We talk about the phrase your mind's eye. We don't say your mind's ear. Your mind's eye means that there's a strong connection between my ability to understand something, to grasp something, to wrap my mind around it, is very much connected to my ability to see it. Can I picture? So things of this world can be seen and can be understood. But things that are lamalam and ha'asaga, things that are beyond this world, right, cannot be seen. So just like you can't understand Hashem, you cannot physically see Hashem. Okay? That's the rule. So what about Klal Yisrael? V'hine Yisrael asurim lisporosam. The Gemara tells us in Yom HaChav Beis that Kol Amoni Yisrael v'chulu, anyone who counts the Jewish people, bad things, very bad things. Mach v'she'ein yecholas litvos Yisrael v'machshava. Came l'malim in ha'asaga. Why can't you count Jews? To count something, I have to be able to see it. I have to be able to identify it. I have to be able to understand it. By not counting Jews, you're saying, I can't understand a Jew. A Jew is beyond understanding. A Jew is l'malim in ha'teva. If a Jew is just another object of this world, then you could count it like the objects of this world. But by not counting Jews, you're saying a Jew is l'malim in ha'teva. A Jew is not from this world. A Jew is beyond ha'saga. They say that one of the tzaddikim said, a non-Jew can't understand what a Jew is. Right? So I think they said, Rav Baruch HaMezhbush said. So Rav Baruch HaMezhbush said, a Jew can't even understand what a Jew is. We can't understand ourselves. We don't have a full grasp of ourselves. I said earlier this week, the Maharal says, the ultimate Torah is the Torah of self-discovery. We can't figure ourselves out. We can't count ourselves. We can't enumerate our value. We can't put a price tag on a Jew. So let's come back to Rashi. Rashi says what? Avram looked at the stars, and Avram says, I'm not going to have kids. I can see in the stars, I can see that woven into the very fabric of history, of reality, is that I will not have children. So Hashem says, Avram's not going to have children. Avraham is going to have children. Avram is looking at the world with physical eyes, right? Avraham, we would say, so Achutzo, he took him beyond this world. And he said, you know why you can't see your kids? Because your kids are not something that can be seen. Your kids are Lamalam and Ateva. Your kids are beyond Hasagar, beyond understanding. Because who are your kids? Klal Yisrael. Amazing piece. V'kevan, l'chein, kevan shi Yisrael Lamalam and Hasaga. Since the Jewish people are beyond understanding, beyond comprehension. L'chein lo ra'a Avram osam k'shehibim mazalus. Avram looked to the stars and didn't see Klal Yisrael. Of course not. Because they're way beyond the stars. You can't see something that's beyond this world within the even the most lofty, you know, presentation of this world by reading the stars, which is a real chachmah. Just like you can't count the dust of the earth, right? Klal Yisrael also cannot be enumerated, they can't be counted. Why? Because they're totally beyond anything of this world. And don't be nervous, Avram, you will have children. But you're not going to have children who are like regular human beings, who can be understood. You're going to have children that are totally beyond any comprehension. I'll just mention, I know we're learning Kedushas Levi, and we don't usually try to stray away to add other things, just a totally separate var. But I have to just tell you one thing, because tomorrow, I believe, is the art set of Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, Yehuda Meir Shapiro from Chachmei Lublin, passed away in 1933. He has an amazing var. We saw a teaching from him earlier this week in Lekan Amar. He has an amazing, amazing pshat in the Pasuk. He has a sefer called Imrei Das. So in the Imrei Das, he says an amazing pshat. It's connected to this Berditcher, that's why I'm sharing. Avram is told, go outside and what? And count the stars. In Tuchol, the Sporo Sam, if you can. And then he says, Ko Yazaracha, your children will be endless like the stars. Yeah? Says Rav Meir Shapiro, this is like a golden Vart. If you need a Vart for the rest of your life for Parshas Lech Lecha, write this one down. It's an amazing, amazing Vart. Here's what he says. Hashem takes Avram outside. He says, Habet Na Shemaima, Usfor HaKol Chavim. Go outside and count the stars. Nu, Avram's a loyal servant. Avram's a mammon. Avram's a good listener. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do something, he does it. So Avram walks outside and Hashem says, Nu, look at the stars and start counting. So what does Avram do? Kipshuto. He doesn't say, oh, no, God is just giving a mashal. No, God said count the stars, so he starts counting. 1 star. 2 stars. 10 stars. 100 stars. 1,000 stars. 100,000 stars. 1,000,000 stars. 1,000,000,000 stars. Avram sees there's so much more to go. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is impossible. I can't count all the stars. Hashem said, but you're trying, right? You're trying to count the stars, even though you know it's impossible. You're trying to do the impossible. Oh, ko yezaracha, so shall your children be. The Jewish people will strive to do the impossible. The Jewish people will make the impossible possible. Ko yezaracha, your children, just like, it's not ko yezaracha, your children will be like the stars. Your children will be like you, Avram, who's trying to do an impossible task. But you do it because you know if Hashem says you can do it, you can do it. There's an endless amount of stars. We'll never be able to count all the stars. But you're trying. Ko yezaracha, I give you a bracha, your children will seek to do the impossible. Rav Meir Shapiro, such a fitting vart for Rav Meir Shapiro, again, whose yard site is coming up. Because he did the impossible. Creating the Daf Yomi, many people said it was impossible. And he revolutionized the way that so many people learn Torah. So many people who never, ever, ever would have finished Shas have finished it numerous times because of Rav Meir Shapiro's dreams. Because he knew how to dream big. And that's what the Bradishim are saying here. Klai Yisrael is beyond Hasaga. Klai Yisrael is way beyond anything that fits our rational minds. We strive to do the impossible, and we believe that if a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants us to do the impossible, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu tells us you can do the impossible, then we can make the impossible possible. Okay? Let's see if we have time for two more quick pieces. In the middle of the next piece, see if you can find the paragraph where it quotes the Gemara in Yoma, Chavches Amid Bez. I have it as like three paragraphs into the next piece.
Let me see if I can identify it. You have it somewhere in the middle of this larger piece.
The paragraph begins Vinei Amru Chazal. In my edition, it begins Vinei Amru Chazal. It's part of this. It's like. What'd you say? Yeah, Kiyam Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah. Anyone see that? Kiyam Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah. Anyone who has the official Shir edition? Yeah,
it's
11
lines down.
Yeah, here it is. Chav Gimel, Chav Gimel. It's on page Chav Gimel. 11 lines down in the left column. Okay, thank you so much. Left column, 11 lines down. Okay? It's part of a broader piece, but it answers a very, very important question. It answers the question, how did Avram figure out all of the mitzvos before they were given? Because the Gemara says in Yom HaChav Chesam Adbeis, and the Gemara says in the last Mishnah in Kedushin, that Avram kept all of mitzvos before it was given. How do you figure it out? How do you figure out Torah and mitzvos before you're told Torah and mitzvos? So, Chavra, this may not be so realistic for us, but it's important for us to know that there is such a reality. Vinei Amru Chazal, Kiyam Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah Afilu Eruvei Tavshilin Ad Shelo Nitna. Avram kept everything, even Eruv Tavshilin, before it was given. Ve'kervanu El HaSeichel Eich Yodah Kol HaTorah. So to try to make this understandable to us, what does that mean? How is that possible? How did Avram Avinu understand all of Torah before Hashem gave him the mitzvos? Ach machmas she'Avram Avinu hifridus atzmo migashmius. But because Avram Avinu separated himself from Gashmius, because Avram refined himself, right? Avram decided to live differently than the rest of the world. Vera haramach evarav, and he looked at everything physical, starting with his own body. The 248 limbs of his body. Shekol Aver Chiyuso mi mitzvah. And Avram was able to look at the pointer finger of his left hand and say, this is meant for a mitzvah. And he looked at his arm, his left arm, he said, this is for tefillin. And he looked at his leg and he said, this is for running to the base medrash. Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a mitzvah to run to shul. Yeah? So he looked at his body and he saw how every limb was illuminated by the mitzvah. V'chol Aver v'Aver yeshlo mitzvah shemachayo so. That every limb has a mitzvah that gives it life. This is what the Chavetz Chaim talks about in the introduction to the third volume of the Mishnah Berurah. How some mitzvos correspond to vital organs, and some mitzvos correspond to parts of your body that you care a lot about, but you could live without. Shabbos is a vital organ. That's why he writes it in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah. Sha mitzvah shu keneged ha'ever hu chiyos ha'ever. U'mibiladei ha'mitzvah ein chiyos la'ever. And without that mitzvah, you don't have that body part. The Chavetz Chaim says a terrifying thing. If you have a particular body part that's meant to be used for a mitzvah, and you don't use it for a mitzvah, then in the next world, you're not going to have that mitzvah. In the end of time, whatever that means, in Olam Haba, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have that body part. You're going to be crippled in that way. That's a very scary thought. So we have to use our body and every limb and every bit of our organs to serve Hashem. V'heisik she'chiyus harosh hu mitfilin. Avram understood that the head was created for tefillin. V'chein hashar mitzvos. And that's a chashuv thing to realize. That sometimes, if a Jew wants to figure out what Hashem wants, I just have to look deeply into myself, and I can figure it all out. Again, the Berdichev is not the only one to talk in this way in explaining the mitzvah of Avraham Avinu, but again, it's important to realize an understanding of that very deep Gemara that Avram kept Kol HaTorah Kula before it was given. Okay, last but not least, and I'm going to do most of it outside, but I want you to see that this piece exists because it's an amazing piece. If you turn a bunch of pages to it's Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Beis and Dalet, Vayomer Ma Titein Li Vanochi Holich. The title of the piece is Vayomer Ma Titein Li Vanochi Holich.
When Avram says, I don't have a child, who's
going to... Bottom of Chaftes. Let's just read the Pesukim quickly. The Pesukim say that Avram's nervous. What's he nervous about? Achar Dvar Me'ela, Kodesh Baruch Hu appears to Avram, and he says, Avram, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to give you a great reward. Vayomer Avram, right, Hashem Elokim, Ma Titein Li, Vanochi Holi Hariri, I don't have kids. Uven Meshek Beisi, who's a Meshek Eliezer. I'm going to be inherited by my servant. I don't have a biological child. And Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to give you children. Right? And Avram believes Hashem, and Hashem considers it a great source. Okay? Says the Berdichever. Sorry, let's look at the next piece. Same sugya. We asked all the right questions, but look at the next piece. Yeah? I'm sorry. The pasuk Vayomer Hashem Elokim B'mayidah Ki Hashem. So then Hashem says to Avram, I'm going to give you kids, and I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. And Avram says, how do I know that I'm going to be zocheh to the land? How do you know? Why is Avram asking all of a sudden? Why does he ask for a sign? Why doesn't he believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to give you children and give you Eretz Yisrael? What's Avram's concern? What's bothering him? So the Berdichever says, and again, I'm going to say most of it outside because it's late. But if you look like 5 or 6 paragraphs in, he says, Nimsa Koach HaMolid. Do you see Nimsa Koach HaMolid? Avram had the following question. Yeah? Avram said, How is it possible for me to be the continuation of the Jewish people, the starting point of the Jewish people? Right? Avram's trying to figure out himself. And Avram says, I come from Terach. And Terach was a Rasha. So Avram's wondering, yeah, who am I supposed to be? I come from a big Russia. Where do I fit into all of this? And now you're promising me that I'm going to have a great nation, and I'm going to... How do I come from Terach? How is that possible? And how am I going to be the one to be able to transmit whatever you think I am to Klal Yisrael, to make a Klal Yisrael? Where does that come from? So he says, again, if you see it, it's great. If not, I'll just listen for a second. Nimtza koach hamolid... So Hashem says back to Avraham, you think you come from Terach? You don't come from Terach. When you jumped into that fiery furnace, you were born again. You don't come from Terach. Where do you come from? This is an amazing line, what he says here. Avraham doesn't come from Terach. Terach wasn't worthy of bringing such a neshama into this world. It was the thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in creating the world. Now, you have to understand, if you learned the beginning of Tanya, you know that the Tanya talks about how the formation of a child begins in the father's mind. Right? The Tanya doesn't mean that biologically that the sperm is formed in a person's brain. Right? But the mind creates a desire to be with a woman, which will generate certain emotional will trigger response, which will get the body to produce zera so that the woman can have a child. So the starting point of the birth of a child is within the father's mind. And the father, in a certain sense, is giving over his mind to his child. So too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave birth, so to speak, to the tachlis of the Bria. Bihi Baram, Hashem created the world, Bihi Baram, the Gemara says, Ba'Avram. Avram is the purpose of the Bria. Echad Hay Avram. So what created Avram? Was it Terach? You read the story, it looks like Terach made Avram. Terach didn't make Avram. What made Avram? Who brought this neshama to this world? The Koach HaMolid of Avram Avinu was what? Was the machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be an Avram Avinu. U'mahu ha-machshava? And what is Hashem? What was that machshava that got everything rolling? The machshava shei Yisrael pa'ol, that there should be a Jewish people. Shal yodim yizkadi shemo ha-gadol. Zeh ha-machshava heviya nishmas Avram Avinu olav ha-shalom to this world. You want to know where Avram comes from? He didn't come from Terach's mind. He came from Kiv Yachol's mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. The Berdichev Rebbe goes on and he says that parents transmit a ruchnius to their child, which is why it says, Tanya brings it, that when parents are being intimate, when a husband and wife are being intimate with one another, and a child is being formed, it's very important that they have holy kavanas. It shouldn't just be for their own physical pleasure. It should be with an understanding that I'm about to bring a neshama down to this world. And my child's neshama will be somewhat dictated by the sanctity with which that relationship is taking place. So Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, where do I come from? B'ma eida ki irashena. Where's my Yerusha from? How could I be a transmitter to the next generation? I come from Terach. I can't start a holy nation. So Hashem says, you don't come from Terach, you come from me. You come from the original machshava of creating the world. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yadoa teida ki geri yazaracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael comes from what? From my desire to create a Klal Yisrael. And again, it just highlights the chashivas of Avram. It's a long piece. It's an important piece. And again, he says at the end, and don't be surprised that Avram doesn't come from Terach at all. Because we have a concept, he quotes the Gemara in Yevamis, that a gerish and his gayer, katan shenola dami. And when Avram converts to Judaism, he's not a child of Terach. He's a child of the Rabbanu Shalom. And again, that's true for each and every one of us. Yitzchak, he says, as he ends the piece, Yitzchak, Avram, holy das Yitzchak, the Pasuk says. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, but it never says that Terach gave birth to Avram. Not in that kind of way. Because Terach didn't give birth to Avram. Avram is the beginning of the idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that there should be a Klal Yisrael. And again, Klal Yisrael is beyond the Mispar. So again, a lot of chizuk, a lot of love, and a lot of deep understanding of who we are, and what we are, and what this whole world is about, what Hashem wants from us, from the Berdichever. And Amir Hashem, we should understand, as we go through these parshios, of Lech Lecha and Vayera, and I'll end with one final gematria. What's the gematria of Lech Lecha? 100. What's the gematria of next week's parsha? Vayera? 217. What's the gematria of Lech Lecha plus Vayera? 317 is gematria Avram Avinu. Because these are the parshas of Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha and Vayera. So Amir Hashem, we should learn from the Ava of Avram Avinu, we shall learn from the Ava of the Berdichever to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give Nachas Ruach and a Tanug to the Creator of the world. Shkoyach, everyone should have an awesome Shabbat.